What a blessing to know that God's face is turned towards us because we are in Christ. He's always turned towards us. What a blessing. I want to say what a joy it has been for me to be able to attend the prayer advance again and the sessions that I was able to sit there and soak in have just been such a joy and a blessing. Thank you, Harold and Debbie. Thank you for allowing me the privilege to serve alongside. It's such a joy. And as the names were called of people that were helpers, I thought, they served me all weekend. They are such servants. And I am grateful to just have a little tiny part of the weekend. Thank you. I've gotten to speak with a lot of you. And it's a blessing and a joy, just as sisters in Christ, to be able to share and talk and share burdens and just encouragement. So thank you for receiving me. I'm a nobody. I am just a nobody. In Christ, I am His child. He loves me, and I see myself as that. But I am certainly not any kind of a celebrity person. I am just a tiny little servant that gets to serve God, and it is so awesome. I love it. It's just a joy of my heart. I want to show you. I thought, if Brother Dave can show a picture of his family, I can show you a picture of my family. So, I don't know if you can see this too good. So, up on the right is, you know, the whole clan, except for now I have three girls that are going to be adopted into our family. Our oldest daughter on the right-hand side and her husband have brought three siblings into their home. And yes, so all of my children, grandchildren are adopted, and that is so special to me. It has made my own spiritual adoption so precious. So that's them before the girls came into our lives. But Paul and Whitney at the top, and then Andrew and Allie, and they serve in our ministry. Such a blessing. He's the associate pastor. She's our pianist. And then Shepherd and Shiloh, they were the first grandchildren that came into our lives, and they're the ones that are 6 years old that are twins. And my husband, Dale, and I celebrated, that was our 40th anniversary. We're getting ready to celebrate 42? I don't know. 43. We were married to 81. You do the math. But anyway, he is 6'2", and I'm 4'9". So he says we're the long and the short of it, so, you know. He's very witty, and he balances us out. He's got this huge personality, and he has a shepherd's heart. He loves pastoring people and shepherding, and it's my joy to get to come alongside him. And even now, I was thinking when I was sitting there that he's doing a funeral right now, and so he's serving there, and I get to serve here, but I've missed him. I'm anxious to get home to him, but it's a joy. So anyway, thank you for the blessing to be able to share with you. I've prayed before coming that the Lord would allow all of the sessions to just meld together. God's word is complete, and it's sufficient for every need of our lives. But there's so many things that you could speak about and cover. And, you know, when you have so many different people that are speaking, it's like, you know, what are they going to share? I don't know. And I don't know what your needs are, but God does. And so I said, Lord, just allow all of the sessions to come together. And when I realized what I was going to be sharing in this last session, I'm like, God answered that prayer. God answered that prayer. All weekend, we've heard about emotions. We've talked about anxiety and cares. And then I understand there was another workshop about that this morning. And I think we all have to deal with these things. Oh, let me stop. Hang on. Okay, I forgot about this other slide. This is my contact information. If you want to find me, I've written a blog since 2008. It's refreshher.com. And I started a podcast several months ago, and it is called Refresh Her. That's the name of the podcast. And you can find it on Apple. You can find it on Amazon Music. And I post a podcast every week. And they're 15 minutes long. It's just, my heart is to refresh the hearts of women. And so that's why I started my blog. That's why I'm doing the podcast. It's just snippets of scripture. This week I did one about Easter traditions that you can do in your family. Just practical things. I'm just like a simple person. It's like, how can I simplify things? How can I make it practical? How can I help someone understand this? So that's what I share on my blog and on my podcast. All right, let's move on now. So anyway, this morning, just I want to be able to share with you today, like, how do you take everything that we have talked about with emotions and your cares? And we've heard good truth about the fact that God cares and God's bigger than our problems and all of that. Okay, that's good. I've got that in my heart. But now, what can I do to apply this when I go home? That's what I want to help you with this morning, and I pray that it will encourage you. Let's stop and pray and ask the Lord to give us his help. Lord, we do acknowledge you again. Lord, knowing that I cannot do anything without you, I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you would quicken the spirits of the ladies, that they would be able to be awake and to hear this last charge and encouragement from your word. And Lord, give me wisdom to know what to say and what to leave out, that you would be glorified. Oh, Lord Jesus, may they see you and not me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what are we going to do? We all deal with emotions and up and down things of life. We deal with lies that Satan puts in our mind. I talked about some of those in the biblical femininity class about Satan wants to make us think that being a woman is a bad thing and that we don't have blessings of being able to serve and do things in the church. That's wrong. That is not the truth. So we need to be thinking the truth so that we can then respond and do out of the truth and know the joy of just walking with God and serving him. And, you know, we can let our things just drown us, our emotions just drown us. And what does it do to our testimony? It's destroyed. Our world needs to see the hope that we have in Christ. But we can find ourselves having little to no ambition. We just feel like we just want to curl up on that comfy sofa and just veg for a while. We have negative thoughts that just keep permeating our minds. We may feel like we're failures or that we are less than anybody else around us. Or sometimes we just feel numb to everything that's around us. Or we may wish that we could just sleep because that's an escape. But ladies, we have hope. And that's what I want to encourage you about this morning, is the hope that we have. Now, I'm going to be transparent to say to you, I'm sharing some truths with you today out of a book that has really helped my life. When I started reading this Elizabeth George's book, Loving God with All Your Mind, years ago. And one year I would read Loving God with All Your Mind, and the next year I would read A Woman After God's Own Heart. Because those two books kept me balanced. A Woman After God's Own Heart reminded me of my roles as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, as a believer, as a Christian in the church. And then Loving God with All Your Mind kept me thinking the right thing and thinking the truth. It kept me balanced, because we tend to just go off and go on our feelings. So there are three things that I want to initially start off by saying, is that we need to change our thinking and have a turning point in our lives. We have to do these three things right here. Memorize God's word. We need to have the scripture in our heart so that it can come to our mind at that moment. You know, when you have a tragedy and something that happens and you don't have the opportunity to run and go get your Bible, or even pick up your cell phone. You might be in a hospital, or you may be in some other situation where you don't have that privilege. What part of God's word have you memorized that you can bring back up to your mind and say, yes, but God's word says, and you can refresh your heart with that truth. So memorizing the word of God is going to anchor you. Secondly, meditating on the word of God. And so when you're memorizing the scripture, you're going to be meditating on it. Because you have to go over and over and over, and for most of us, over and over and over and over to memorize something. And that is such a good thing. Can I also encourage you? It is a blessing to memorize a passage of Scripture because you're memorizing that verse in the context, and it kind of unfolds. Like even a passage that maybe was familiar to you before, when you memorize it, it's like, oh, I get it now. So meditating on the Word of God, ask questions. Who's saying this? Who are they saying this to? How can I apply it to my life? Ask all the important questions about the words, about their meanings, and really the context in which it's written. And then thirdly, apply the Word of God. Lord, how can I live this out? That's really the most challenging part. We can know the Word of God, but we don't do it. And the breakthrough for all of us will be Philippians 4:8. And let's turn to that right now. Philippians 4:8. This is a verse, if you don't have this one memorized, you need to memorize this one. And you're like, but I get all the words confused. You can do it. Philippians 4:8. I want you to read this verse with me, would you? Are you there? Let's read it now. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. So we're just going to look in the very beginning part of this verse this morning. Finally, my sisters, whatsoever things are true. We are to be thinking about the truth. But what does true mean? What is the truth? It is opposed to lies, obviously. But true also means what is real. What is real? What isn't real? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. And it's really a good thing to consider because we have more than 10,000 thoughts that go through our mind every day. And how much of that we are thinking is really true? How much of that is real? You know, when you have a fever, even if it's just like 100, 99 or 100, you just feel off. So when we are not thinking correctly, we are off. It's not right. Something is missing in our life, and it drains our energy to follow God and do His will. I am a coffee drinker. Had mine this morning. I'm so glad there's a Dunkin' Donuts across the street from the church. That was a blessing. But you know, if you make coffee, you know that you take the coffee and you pour the coffee into a filter, right? You can't just dump it into your hot water unless you like to chew the coffee grounds. We always spit it out, you know, if that's what happens, right? But we take the coffee filter and we pour the coffee in and then we pour the water and then out comes this beautiful liquid. Oh, it's such a joy, right? But I want you to picture this as the coffee that I just poured into that. Those are our thoughts. Those 10,000 thoughts we have, I probably have that many grounds in there. 10,000 thoughts that go into our mind every single day. And the filter is the Word of God. This is what is true. So we take our thoughts and we say, Lord, is what I'm thinking the truth? Is this real? We let God's Word be the filter for our thoughts. Sometimes God's Word says one thing and we feel another. So what do? We have to make a choice with our mind. And it is a choice. Because when you look at Philippians 4:8, finally, my brethren, Here's a good suggestion for you. If you want, why don't you think about the truth? Is that what it says? No, this is a command. Finally, whatever is true and lovely and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report, think on these things. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. That's what we are told to think about. I want you to look at this next slide. Ken Collier from the Wilds says this. I hope you can see that. Thinking about God, you do what you do and you say what you say. Okay, stop right there. I've got it bulleted for a reason. You do what you do and you say what you say. Why? Why do you do what you do and why are you saying what you're saying? It's because you think what you think. What you're thinking comes out your mouth and your actions, right? And then you think what you think because you believe what you believe. What are you believing? It's what you believe about God, His Word, and yourself. So look at the whole thing. You do what you do and you say what you say because you think what you think. And you think what you think because you believe what you believe about God, His Word, and yourself. So we need to be thinking the truth. But oftentimes, we're not thinking the truth about who our God is. And our thoughts about Him, again, are to be filtered through the truth of His Word. And you know what? If you disagree with something that I have an opinion about, like, I love Dunkin' Donuts. I'd rather have Dunkin' Donuts than Starbucks any day. And you may say, are you kidding? But I love their whatever. Okay, you don't have to agree with me. But ladies, when somebody is giving or you're reading the Word of God, this is not your opinion. This is the truth, and that's what we have to filter our thoughts through. Or we are not going to be doing the right thing. We're not going to be saying the right thing because we are not believing the truth about our God. So what is it about God that we are not believing? Look again. Look at the next slide here. We doubt God's forgiveness. We don't feel forgiven. And maybe this weekend you confessed a sin to the Lord, but maybe you still have a feeling in there like, oh, man, I still feel guilty about it. I still feel plagued by that. Maybe you're still dealing with a consequence from that sin, and that can happen. But how we feel about it doesn't matter. What does God's Word say? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every bit of it is gone. And a lot of times we let Satan put wrong thoughts in our mind, bring back our sin to us, and or even in our own flesh we do that. And so we don't feel forgiven, but it doesn't matter if I feel forgiven or not. The truth is I am. And so when that thought comes to my mind, I say, no, Denise, what does the truth of God's Word say? It says that I am forgiven. And there's so many other great passages that we just don't have time to go into right now. But it doesn't matter how I feel. We can also doubt God's love for us. And we may say, you know, God just doesn't care about me. I mean, He looks like He's pouring out blessings on my friend here, but He just doesn't care about me. And how I'm being treated. I mean, he doesn't understand all the things I'm going through. But that's not the truth. We look at the children of Israel, and the Lord even tells them in Exodus chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, He says, I see you. I see what you're going through. They kept thinking, like, God's forsaken us here in this wilderness. And He said, no. I haven't forgotten you. I have not forgotten you. I can see you. I hear you. I love you. And we need to remember the truth of our own presence before God. He sees us. He hears us. You remember Hagar in Genesis chapter 16. God saw her when she ran away and she felt forsaken and in such a place of loneliness, God saw her and he even sent an angel of the Lord to her to minister to her. So when we feel like God is not seeing us or God doesn't care, we may also say things like, I don't think that God knows what's going on. What do you know to be true about your God? Can I encourage you that when you're reading the Bible, don't look for how it's going to minister to your need. Like, what is this saying to me? We want it to, like, give us a little special devotional thought for the day or something like that. When you're reading God's Word, look for His attributes. Look for who He is. This is the Word of God. This isn't a word for Denise. All Scripture was given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It will minister to my spiritual needs, but it's not going to make me just feel better. It's going to point me to my God. And when I understand who He is, then whatever happens to me, I can filter it through that truth of God's Word. And then I know how to respond because I think what I think because of who I know about my God. So look for God when you're reading His Word, and that's going to help you counteract your own feelings. You may say, but God doesn't understand how I feel. Yes, He does. We have to choose to think the truth. And you know what? If a verse doesn't come to your mind immediately, even if you could just think of a little phrase, pick up your phone and say, "Hey Siri, where's the verse that says my sin is separated as far as the east is from the west?" And she'll say, "Here's what I found." Because we all, I bet probably most of us would say, "I can't remember references." But Siri, it's our little Christian helper right there on our phone. So use God's Word and think the truth about who your God is. So we're not thinking the truth about our God, and so we're going to be leaning to our own understanding. I love this quote. It says, "In times of trouble, the soul is greatly helped by thinking great thoughts about God." It doesn't make me feel better about who I am or whatever, but when I think about my God, that He is faithful, He is holy, He is merciful, He is kind, He is just. Scripture even tells us that He is beautiful. My soul is encouraged when I think great thoughts about my God. So when you know the truth and you think the truth, it's going to change your life. What else do we aren't believing the truth also about ourselves. So our thinking about ourselves has got to change. Look at this next slide. It says, it reminds us that we all have something that we wish we could change about ourselves, right? If you have straight hair, you want curly hair. If you have curly hair, you want straight hair. If you're short, you want to be tall. And if you're tall, you're like, all those short girls, they get all the tall guys. Yes. But we're not thinking the truth about ourselves. But again, you do what you do and you say what you say because you think what you think. And you think what you think because you believe what you believe about God, His Word, and yourself. You're thinking wrong thoughts about who God made you to be. So what does God's Word want us to think about how ourselves? Often, this next slide reminds us that we view ourselves unbiblically. We are looking at ourselves like the world thinks of us. And we have to, again, see ourselves through the lens of God's Word. We say things like, "I'm nothing. I don't matter." Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were dirty, rotten, nasty sinners, Christ died for us." That made us a somebody in God's eyes, right? So when we say, "I'm nothing, I don't matter, I'm not valuable," and don't we all love Psalm 139? verses 13 through 16. Listen to what this says about who you are. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Your soul is who you are. So that's about that person who you're thinking about. The truth of the word of God is going to transform your thinking about who you are as a woman. God made you the way he did on purpose. I think about Anne of Green Gables. Do you watch the movie? I love that movie. But she said, someone told me that God made my hair red on purpose, and I've never liked him since. But you know what? God did give us red hair on purpose, or curly hair on purpose, or made you 4'9" on purpose. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Just accept yourself through what God tells you who you are before him. Matthew 10:31 says that we're better than the sparrows, and look how beautiful a sparrow is. You're better than that. God loves you. You may say, my life has no purpose. I mean, other people have gifts and they're serving, but my life just has no purpose. Listen to 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world. Ladies, every one of us has a purpose in this life. God wants to use every one of you that know him as your Savior to be able to share the gospel, to be a light for him, to show the hope that we have in Christ with a world that is hopeless. But if we go around and we're gloom and doom and living underneath our privilege that God has made us to be, what kind of light are we being? But we have a purpose in our life. You know, often we make unrealistic demands about ourselves. We put too much on ourselves. Can I ask you a question? If you have children, why in the world are you letting them sign up for every single thing in school? And all of the ball teams, the travel team, the home team, the whatever, I don't even know what they all are. We put so much on ourselves that is totally, it's unrealistic. Okay, I'm going to stop and say, did you pray about it? If God said, go for it, then okay, go for it. But a lot of times we jump into all of these things. We feel pressured to do it. Our kids pressure us into it, and then we didn't stop and pray. And then we wonder why we don't have time to be in God's Word. We wonder why we're running on empty. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. It's your strength in God's Word is small, and you're falling apart because you put some demands on yourself that God never intended you to have. So be wise. Don't put unrealistic expectations on yourself. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. You're close to it right there if you're still in Philippians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You're like, there it is, Denise. See, I need to be running my kids to all the stuff. That might not be the good work God has for you. Pray about it. And you know, you will be showing your kids an awesome testimony if you say, you know what, I am so sorry. I signed you up for all of this, and it's more than you can handle. It's more than I can handle. And I've prayed about it, and I believe the Lord would have us to use our time better. I'm not a very good mom to you right now because I haven't been in the Word like I need to be. So we need to back off. So sometimes these unrealistic expectations are driving us to a crazy place. We're not thinking truth. The next slide reminds us that sometimes our thinking about relationships, this is a very serious one for probably everybody in the room. We must not analyze other people's words and actions or second guess what they say. Okay, let me just ask you a question. Do you ever just walk past somebody in church, maybe even this weekend, and you're like, I think she's mad at me. She didn't smile. She usually smiles. Or she pursed her lips. She doesn't like my outfit. She thinks what I said is dumb. Do you do that? Yeah, we all do it. We start analyzing their thoughts and we have no idea what they're thinking. And it gets us into serious trouble. Then we leave and that's all we can think about. She's mad at me. I wonder what I did. Oh no, that's her on my cell phone. She's going to let me have it. And then she just wants to say, you know what? I was looking at your hair today. Who cut your hair? We are thinking wrong thoughts about other people. And we're trying to figure out their feelings or their thoughts by simply what we perceive, what we see, what we are observing. It is so wrong. They damage relationships because we are assuming something. We do this in marriage too. We think, my husband, he did not understand what I was saying to him. I think he's really upset with me. And then we go on that way rather than being communicative to them and sharing really what's on our heart. But when we focus on what is real, we experience sound and sincere relationships characterized by a genuine love for others. And you know, what does 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tell us? It thinks no evil. So when I assume that somebody is thinking something about me, if I really love them, I'm going to let that evil thought go. And it's not that it's a wicked evil thought when I think, oh, she's upset with me or she doesn't like what I did today. But it goes against God. We're not to be thinking those kind of thoughts. It's not true. We don't know that to be true. So that does not fall into Philippians 4:8. So we need to love that person. Don't think evil. It believes all things. Like, oh, maybe she's just had a bad morning, or maybe she's, you know, thinking about something. You know how sometimes you're gazing off into the space and you're not thinking about what your friend is saying. So we are going to think no evil. We're going to believe all things, bear all things, love our friend. So we think, what is true about this? And then also the passage in Matthew chapter 18. Let's go there. I think you need to look at it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, you have gained a brother or your sister. We are to go to somebody who has hurt us or offended us. That's our responsibility according to this passage. And if your friend has not come to you to say, you know what, I have a problem with you, then you can say, she hasn't come to me, so I guess she's fine with me. And you can go on your way and you can be joyful today rather than carrying that weight of a perception that you do not know to be true. Does that make sense? It's so freeing. You have to say, well, she didn't come to me and tell me anything, so I thought she was upset, but she hasn't come to me, so we're all good. Yeah. We can experience great peace and joy because in our relationships because of these passages. Think about what is right and true, and if it doesn't fall under 1 Corinthians 13 that you're gonna believe all things, hope all things, and if she didn't come to me and tell me, then we're good. Wow. It lifts such a load off of us. Proverbs 28:1. I love this verse. I can't remember the beginning of it. Let me turn to it really quickly. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. a wicked person, it's like they're guilty. They're like, oh, they're coming after me. I've got to run. But the righteous person, the one who hasn't done anything wrong, they're just like, you wanted me? What do you need? Stop acting like you did something wrong. Why are you running from your friend or from the person at church that you think, oh, I think they're upset with me, or, you know, there's a problem here. And we feel that conflict. It's like, look, friends, if they didn't come to you and talk to you about it, then let it go. Don't act like somebody's chasing you. Be bold as a lion. When we think biblically about others, we're going to stop second-guessing them. Why are you looking at me like that? Oh, you're not looking at me funny. Okay. No. Really, that's what we do. We think, she's looking at me funny. Why is she looking at me like that? So God's word is our standard for healthy thought life. We can be free. And Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you and I have to take all of our thoughts and bring them captive. I can remember a time when I had gone to the doctor and they said, we're suspecting something going on with your kidney. And it could be cancer. I was terrified. And they said, we want you to come in the office and we're just going to do a little biopsy. I'm like, and then I heard that when they do anything like that in the office, it is so painful. Guess what? All I could think about for the next several days until the appointment, I mean, my thoughts were just consumed with that. It was nothing that was true yet. It was all out there in the future. But that's all I could think about. It ruined every single day up to that appointment. I had lots of time to think about it and to be afraid. And I took advantage of every second to do so. I'm like, I'm not going to waste this time to be worried and fearful. But you know what? Fear is another area of our lives that causes our thinking to just be so off. And rather than, again, having those great thoughts about our God, we are zeroed in on that fear, and it consumes our lives. Did I know that I had cancer? No. But I knew they were going to do a test, and I knew that it was going to be painful when I had some kind of a little biopsy in the office. Guess what? I didn't have cancer. They did the biopsy. I know. God was so faithful and so kind, merciful to allow me to be clear from that. I wasted 3 days worrying about that. It's like, what could I have been enjoying during those 3 days that I waited for that appointment? How many days have you wasted worrying about things, being afraid of something? Now, here's some of the things that we can be afraid of, and this is a very short list, right? We fear about, like, if you're single, you're like, am I ever going to find a mate? You know, who am I going to marry? Or we fear that I'm going to be single until I'm 100. Or when I get married, maybe I'll never have a child. Maybe God will never let me bear a child. Then when we do have a child, we have this, hold this baby, and we're like, you know, what if they get sick? What if they get COVID? What if they get the croup? What if they get the flu? What if they die? We fear our own sicknesses, like my tests that I have done. Or we say, how am I going to die? Look at the next slide. There's another list of them. Natural disasters, you know, earthquake, tornadoes. April always scares me to death because a tornado hit our house when I was a teenager in April. And now I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. But those kind of things, tornadoes and earthquakes, teen rebellion, our children getting older. And we're like, we're just sure that they're going to hit those years and they're going to go away from the Lord. Our fear that our spouse is going to die and we'll be left a widow early in our life. Terrorists. We let media fill our heart with fear. Accidents. our kids drive out that driveway in that car, and you're like, oh. I remember times leaving for vacation, and I would think, I just feel like we're going to be in an accident on the way there. I feel like we're going to be in an accident? How can you feel that? No, that's fear. That's fear. Or robbery, violence, all of these things, they just come in and eat us up. But let's look back at Philippians chapter 4. Remember, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, all the fears that we just looked at and read, are they true? Is it real? The ground's not shaking. We're not having an earthquake right now. All of these things that we're talking about are not real at this very moment. And God uses his word to just calm our hearts when our fear comes to our heart. And when we think about the future of things that are yet to come, the words, these words, look at the slide. What if? And then you fill in the blank. Yes, I know things are okay today, but what if? And we fill it with all kinds of stuff that is not real. It hasn't happened yet. Can I ask you, what is the what if question that you keep asking yourself? But what if this happens? But what if my husband leaves me? What if my children go astray? What if my daughter never gets married? What if my daughter never has a child? What if, what if, what if? It's not true. And if we focus on the what ifs, then we're not thinking the truth of God's word. Because none of those things have happened yet. And it's not real. So what is the truth about the future? This next slide will help us to be reminded of the truth. What is true about the future? Again, we go back to, what do you know about your God? God knows your future because he's eternal. He's already there. God knows your future. Secondly, his grace will be sufficient for anything that he allows into your life in the days ahead. You're not there yet. Matthew chapter 6, it's become probably one of my favorite passages of scripture that we're going to talk about it in just a minute. But when we go to tomorrow and we think, what if this happens? Right now, today, at this moment, you have all the grace that you need. You know, last week when I told you about we were burying my father last Wednesday, I had a super abundant amount of grace because I needed it. And the next day when we were home, I still needed a lot of God's grace, but maybe not quite as much as I did the day before. And even right now, standing before you, I can just feel the Lord just scooping me up. It's his grace. And for whatever happens to you today, at this moment, you have exactly the amount of grace that you need. And when you need more, God doesn't run out. It's going to be there for you. And then thirdly, he will use all events for my good. And we're familiar with Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29. He's going to use those things to conform me to the image of his son. And fourthly, we know his character. He loves us. So whatever is going to happen in the future, it's going to be for my good. He's going to give me grace for it, and he's doing it because he loves me. So I'm not going to think about that right now. This is the moment right now that God has given to me. That's the truth, and I need to live in this truth. Nothing is ever going to happen to you that God doesn't already know about. Nothing will ever happen to you that is a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. Nothing is going to ever happen to you that God cannot handle by his power and his grace. And nothing is going to happen to you that will not eventually be used by God for good in your life. Nothing will ever happen to you apart from his presence in your life. So this truth, I want you to get this. Look at the next slide. The future is not real. It's only in your imagination. All those things that we listed, we have a really good imagination about how all those things would look if it happened to us. But they're not real. So they don't fit into Philippians 4:8, and therefore I have to let go of it. So part of our thinking about the future is where we need to think the truth. All of my fears, I'm going to put them in here. They come out my mind, but oh, God's word caught it. It filtered it through, and now the truth I'm going to think about are those four truths that I just shared. God is going to be good in those situations. But the other thing that we think about, not only the future, is we dwell on the past. We think about the past, and we say, if only. And then we fill in the blank, if only. But you know what? When we think about the past, that's not real either. Because the past is gone. Can you do anything about it? No. It's happened. So why are the if only statements not aligned up with Philippians 4:8? Because they are no longer real. They used to be real on that day that it happened, but they are no longer real today. Secondly, they breed remorse in our heart. We look back and we regret the sin that we've committed or bad choices we made, that we should have listened to God, but we didn't. And when we stay there, we just are full of remorse. There's a difference between having that confession of your sin and being sorry before God. Confess it and then move on. You have victory in Christ now. It's in the past, and it's just going to breed remorse in your heart. But thirdly, the past fails to acknowledge God's presence and involvement in your past. When we dwell on that, and they impede your progress. You stay stuck back there. Do you ever talk to somebody who just constantly is talking about, but if only, if only, if only, and they can't move on? You're not progressing. You're not going to grow in your sanctification if you are dwelling in the past. So what does God's word say about our past? I'm going to look back at Psalm 139 again and verse 13. For thou hast possessed me in my mother's womb. It rains. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book are all my members written, which in continuance were fashioned when there was yet none of them. God knows our past. He knows where he brought us from. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, a familiar verse. I'm going to pull it up too, because when you know you're standing in front of somebody, everything goes from your mind. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. So why are we going back to the old things? You're living a new life in Christ. Leave it in the past. Don't dwell on the if only I hadn't done this. It's going to keep you from growing. Remind yourself of the truth of what God says about you. We are not to concentrate on the past because we can't change it. And we need to think God's thoughts. Psalm 77:11 says, remembering God's goodness is a different thing than dwelling on our past. Psalm 77:11 is reflecting on how good God has been. Should you remember the blessings of God from this weekend? Yes, okay, it's going to be in the past tomorrow, but God's goodness is eternal. So we just keep reveling in all the good things he's done for us. But according to our own life, it's a part of the past, and we let it go. Often women maybe regret, and they think, if only I hadn't married this man. my life would be different. Okay, so let's just look at that for a second. The truth is today, what is the truth? What is real? Look at your left hand. Do you have a marriage, a ring there? Then the truth is, you are married to that man today. And that doesn't mean, oh, brother, thanks. No, no. The truth is, I am married. God, you give me grace for today. I can make a difference in my home with your strength. I can love that man with your strength. I can honor him. I can submit to him. Wherever God has you, whatever decision you think, if only I hadn't done this, or if only, what is the truth about your life today? And how then can you live in that truth to honor God? Be a godly woman. Walk in the word that you've heard this weekend. Take these truths and live them out in your life and use that as a platform for the gospel. Your marriage, your wherever, your vocation, whatever season of life God has you. Knowing that God is the God of the past and trusting him can just free us to be able to live right now in the present. So God's truth can free us from fear of the future and regret of the past. So can I just encourage you as we finish out, just recognize the command of Philippians 4:8. If the Bible says that I can only think about what is true and real, then to think outside of this box, and if I were to take this and just dump my, I won't, but if I dump my coffee filters out here, I'm thinking out here instead of God's word, God calls it sin. Your thoughts are not lined up with God's word. You are sinning in your thought life. Think the truth. Think what he says about your life, because this is his command to us. And then just respond in obedience. Start memorizing a verse. And if you don't have any other verse in your mind that you could memorize, start with Philippians 4:8. Memorize God's word. Obey. No one can corral those thoughts that are in your mind except for you. You are in control of your thoughts. Only you can do it. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. That says, take no thought. That's pretty clear. For the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That means, in other words, tomorrow is going to have enough trouble in itself. But when you get there, you'll have grace for it. But right now, you have the grace you need for today. So focus on today. Enjoy today. Don't get yourself so absorbed in all the things of your past or your future that you can't enjoy right now, today. I'm going to show you one more little illustration as we close. Sorry for all this mess up here. I just want us to think about these two buckets here as our thoughts. And here's what we do. This bucket is representing your thought life. And what we tend to do is we think about all of the past and we think, oh, I made some really bad choices as a teenager. If only I hadn't done that. And we regret it. We don't think we have a ministry that we can serve the Lord. And we're constantly just thinking those thoughts. That's what's coming out of our mind. That's what's coming out of our actions, because our thoughts are what we're going to do, what we're going to say. And we just dwell on it. Or now we're also thinking about the future. We think, oh my goodness, tomorrow I am sure that somebody's going to need something from me that I don't have, or this test that I'm going to have is going to be detrimental to me, or I'm going to die on the way home. Ridiculous thoughts. We're not thinking the truth, but these are all of our thoughts. Oh, I got a little bit left in here. So what else can I worry about? You put your thoughts in here. What would you be worrying about? What are you worrying about right now? What's been consuming your thoughts before you got here? This is what you're doing. So here it is. And as you're in your quiet moments, now these are the thoughts that we have left to serve God with. We use all of our mental energy on what is not true. We drain our heart. We drain our emotions into this ugly gray bucket of wrong thinking. And then when it comes to God saying, I have a ministry for you, I wanted to use you. I wanted you to be able to take what you've learned and not share all the details of your sordid past, but I wanted you to take your past and I wanted you to be able to take those lessons and encourage somebody else. And now you have no more mental energy to serve your God. But you know what, ladies? Finally, my sisters, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things right here. And this weekend we said, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You want to do God's will on earth? Think his word. Know his word. Meditate on it. Say it to other people. Speak truth to your own heart. And then God's will be done in your life as it is in heaven. Let's bow and pray. Father, I pray for each one of us, myself included. Oh Lord, that we would love your word. You've preserved it for us. You have given it so that we can know you. Oh Father, we praise you for who you are. Thank you that you are a mighty God who makes yourself known to us. And we've heard from your word this weekend. We've seen you. And I pray for these ladies as they go home, oh Lord, I pray that they would love your word. Help them to think the truth. Help them to think on what is real, honest, just, lovely, and pure. And Lord, then out of their lives, their words, their speech, their actions would point others to their Savior. Lord, help us to obey you. Thank you for this command. And Lord, I pray that as these ladies go home today, that they would encourage each other with the truth. Help them to support one another and love each other enough to say, you're not thinking right. And Lord, may we exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ because we love your word and we walk in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.